Welcome to Harvest Amarillo Podcast. We're excited you have chosen to listen in today. May God encourage you through this message to live a life of value, of fullness, and fruitfulness for His kingdom.
I'm honored to be able to stand up here for you today to finish off this victorious secret series Kurt's kind of put together in hopes to give you some tools for your tool belt for the 2019 year. And I'm really honored today because this is our first thing that we're calling the Next Gen Sundays. Pastor Curtis and his wife, Allison, put this together. So what they're trying to do is every so often start training up our new leaders of the church with worship and with speaking. And so this is our first time to do it. It's for the next gen, the next generation. So truly honored with that. It's an honor to follow up the legend, Curtis House. And if you kind of new to Harvest, you might not know this. If you've been here for a while, you know. So I'm just going to catch everyone else who's new. If you're new, I'm going to catch you up real fast. But Curtis isn't a legend because of his 20 years of ministry. It's not that. It's not because of his service in the Army and all the awards he won, like Soldier of the Year. No, it's not that. It's not because of his seminary at Duke and all that good stuff. You know, whatever. But what makes Curtis a legend is that he had the opportunity to wear the number 10 jersey for the Tulia Hornets as quarterback. Thank you to Caleb in the back who found this picture for me. And we've all heard the stories of Curtis calling all the plays, the I right, fly right, Homer Simpson at the middle down two, or something like that, I don't know. But wasn't a quarterback. But then we know that Curtis, if every chance that he got, if he could take the ball and was running for a touchdown, he'd make his way to the sidelines where the cheerleaders were so they could see that number 10 was running in for a touchdown. I love those stories. But today, it being the Next Generation Sunday, I'm going to take this opportunity to talk to you about another legend. And he is a legend that wore the number 6 jersey for the Canyon Eagles baseball team. This guy. It's happening. The Canyon Eagle baseball team. Because my whole life, I looked forward to playing for the Canyon Eagle baseball team. I grew up watching my cousin play, going up on Saturdays and working on the field, pulling all the big rocks off the infield, putting new clay in the batter's box, and hearing all the stories of my dad, of my uncles. It's just the tradition that the Hueys, well, you play baseball. And so I worked so hard doing everything the coach had told us to do ever since I was little. And now my junior year came around. It's varsity time. And I get up there and I say, I was working so hard. And the first game came about. Look at the roster. Shortstop, which is supposed to be Huey, but Huey was not there. What? And it's silly. But as a 17-year-old, and that's what you're working up to, this was everything to me. My life had came to a stop because Huey was not in the shortstop position, and that's what I've always played. After a couple of weeks gone by, like I said, 17-year-old, I was ready to quit. I was done. I was ready to move on with my life. I went and talked to the coach after it was a game or practice, and I told him, hey, coach, I'm done. I quit. And he said, well, just give me one more week. I'm like, yeah, that's not going to happen. I'm done. And then I go and talk to my dad, and talking to him about it, the first thing he says, of course, is, well, you're going to have to get a job if you're not going to be in sports. I'm like, yes, sir. But then he goes on and continues, and we talk about it. And some of the things that he said that really stuck out to me was, you know, don't just play for yourself, but pray for the men who've gone before you. Pray for your love of the game, Brett. And then also, why don't you play not just for this season? Why don't you prepare yourself for the next season so you can have that position next year? I'm like, nah, that's pretty good. All right, sounds good. I'll try that. But the problem, how do I get better at something whenever I'm not in the game? That was my real question, because something else that goes along in the Huey family is that we have flat feet, so I'm not very fast. So I'm like, I got to pick up my speed to play shortstop. And so one thing that I was going to do is every time the ball was hit foul, my goal was to get to that ball before the outfielder got to it. And so he'd go foul, and all of a sudden, number 6, choo, right, like just like a racing horse, right out the chute. out of the dugout. I was going to go and get that ball. And as I'd go up to the ball, I would slide on my backside, grab that ball, and pop up and run back. Yeah, I got it down pretty good. And so then also at least my jersey was dirty from something. After the game. But then after that, I got to run for the catcher. So every time the catcher would get on base, coach would call a timeout, and I got to go out and run in his place so he can go back in the dugout and get his equipment on. And so it really kind of got to the point I wasn't really cheering to win the game. I just wanted the catcher to get on base so I can get in the game. And from that point, I was like the bull coming out. Man, I was jumping, and I was ready to roll. I'm like, here we go. And then I get on the base, and then I go like this. I'm ready. And if you don't know baseball, that is the way to stand if you're going to be running, just like this. And my goal was to let this pitcher know that I'm stealing. Again, even though because I'm slow, so I didn't steal. But he doesn't know that. But that was my goal, is getting in his head. And that's the way to do it. And I was doing it correctly. All right, so I share this story. I didn't really want to share the story. But God kind of put it on my heart. And I was like, man, it's kind of a hard season of my life. Because, like, again, I was 17 years old. And it really was a tough season. But God kind of really showed how I can use this as an example. And one of the things being is, no longer did all the things that I did that helped me get to this point, all the practice and all the stuff I did, clearly it was not helping me today. My past of what I've done is not helping me today. So I had to change my game. I had to change things up. Even though Coach didn't take the jersey off me. I still wore the number 6 for the Canyon Eagles, but I was ready to quit. Like I said, because everything I'd done wasn't working today. But I just had to change some stuff up. I wanted to blame the coach. I wanted to say, well, you know, it was the coach's first year as the varsity coach. It was only his second year at Canyon, coached the JV, assisted varsity. I mean, he's just playing the seniors is what he's doing. Okay, he's just trying to play it safe, play the seniors. He doesn't really know who I really am. Coach's fault. I could have done that, but what would that have said about the character of number 6? What would it have showed about the character of number 6 if I would have quit? But I didn't, because luckily enough, with wisdom speaking into my life, I had a new idea of the game, and what I was going to begin to play was play for the men who had gone before me, and I was going to play to better myself for the next season, to have a new character. And so today, as we talk about character, one thing that we want to talk about is upholding a Christ-like character. Is this something that we're actually trying to do? Because sometimes it seems as we're not doing a really good job of upholding a Christ-like character at times. 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8 says this, "Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tale. Rather, train yourself to be godly, for physical training is not of some value. Is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come." So are we preparing? Is our character in a way where we're preparing for the next season? Because there's a great reward. And a great reward in that. And I didn't tell you, but we just need to come back to the story. At the end of that junior season, my dad opened up the Amarillo paper, and with all the awards that were given that year, and sure enough, number 6 for the Canyon Eagles got an award for Mr. Hustle Award. What? I don't really accept it because I didn't get a trophy or a plaque or a piece of paper, so I think it was just made up. So I don't really accept it, but there was a reward. All right, so as we dig in this morning, there's the two people in the Bible that we're going to talk about with character. One of them was David and one of them was Solomon. As we look at David, we can really see his character really that lasts throughout his entire life. It starts young, shows his courage as he defeats a giant at age 16. Later on in his life, he showed patience as he refused to kill Saul, not just once, but twice. And later on in his life, we even see a character of passion as he danced before the Lord with all of his might. As we look at Solomon, he actually started off pretty good. While sacrificing at Gibeon, he asked the Lord to give me wisdom. Of all the things that he could have asked for, like riches and fame and leadership and to rule over all these things, he asked for wisdom. So the Lord had favor on him, saying, "This was a great request, and I will give you, grant you wisdom, and be the most wisest man that ever walked the earth." So he did really good, and up until he reached about 40 and had a midlife crisis, and start beginning to turn his eyes away from God, and he ended up marrying 700, took in 700 wives. Whew. So one focused on the future, both physical future and eternal future, and the other one didn't. One played the whole game, while the other was living in the fourth quarter, hoping what he had, all the points he scored in the first quarter, would carry him out through the rest of the game, to hoping that it would be enough. So the first characteristic, Christ-like characteristic that we're talking about today, is the kingdom characteristic. You know, when we receive Jesus into our heart as a Lord and personal Savior, even if it's at 12 or at 90, whenever we say yes to Jesus into our heart, the next thing is we get baptized, and that's really important. Because whenever you get in the water, what it represents is like the earth is the ground. And just like Jesus did, went to the cross, and then he died and was buried. And that's what we do when we go under, when we're submerged underneath the water, we're dying to ourselves, to our old selves, the BC days before Christ. The way we used to live life, we were dying to that. And just as Jesus was resurrected on the third day, we are going to be resurrected out of the water, a new life in Jesus. That's baptism. And when you come out of the water, you have a new identity in Christ Jesus. And with that identity, you get the jersey and you can have a new character, a Christ-like character. Some people say, okay, well, then what do I need to work on? What's the character? Well, I mean, it could be real simple. You know, look at the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, patience. God. Just start there. Just start with love. Let's work on love. This sounds really easy, right? Super easy. But clearly we're kind of, sometimes we, it's not as easy as what it sounds. Because what we do when we're walking with Jesus, we're not actually just walking with Jesus. I call it the Christian two-step is what we're doing. Instead of keeping our eyes focused on Christ and walking with him, we're actually just two-stepping with him next to him. Because we're looking forward, but then we also have our eyes behind us, looking at our past shadows. Can you give me some light there, Brett? Or Caleb, or whoever's back there. Oh, there's Caleb. All right, I get the spotlight. Thank you. All right, so here's the deal. As we're two-stepping with Christ, like I said, we can see the light in front of us, but then our problem with this, we can see our past, our shadows. And if you really look at your shadow, you can actually make it seem like, man, I got two of them. And then it seems really a lot bigger. Have you ever been with a friend, maybe you were new in BC days or you grew up with them and there was a certain event in your life and 10 years down the road, you hear your friend talking about that certain event and they're building it up like it's this big deal and you're like, I don't remember it being that big of a deal. We've done that maybe a few times, built up things of our past, maybe successes. Maybe they weren't as big as they were, but we kind of built them up that way. Sometimes whenever you look at your past and you look at your shadow, you can kind of become misfigured. I'm not going to attempt to make a figure because I don't know how to do it. But you can misfigure, make cool signs, right? Our past can kind of take on a new shape. Really, your shadow can really become whatever it is that you want it to be. And that is our past. And as we're constantly looking back at our past, at our shadow, and two-stepping with Christ, that causes us to stumble more than what we should. All right, you can turn off the light, Caleb. Abraham Lincoln said, "Character is like a tree, and a reputation is like its shadow. The shadow is what we think of it, and the tree is the real thing." See, your past and your shadow is what you make of it. But here's the thing. If we begin to, instead of two-step with Christ and keep our eyes focused on Jesus, then my shadow or my past, it disappears. Whenever I'm looking right there at the light, it disappears. Even though I know it's still back there, okay, I know it's back there, but it no longer affects me who I am today and my character. It doesn't affect me anymore because it's back there. I am thankful for it. I am thankful for my past. It got me where I am today, but no longer affects me today because my eyes are looking forward. I'm not looking back. And as we begin having taken on the character like this of Christ, a kingdom mindset character of Jesus, our hearts begin to change. And now as I've gotten older and I think about my past and my shadows, my prayer is that my shadow becomes like a healing or a testimony to those around me. I think of Acts 5. So in Acts 5, back then with the disciples, what people would do is they would grab people who are sick or lame and they'd bring them to the side of the streets on the way to the temple. So as the disciples and as Peter would walk towards the temple that morning, they would just hope and pray that the shadow of Peter would just come across them as he walked by, because they believed if his shadow would cross them, that it would heal them. Man, so that's my prayer. Say, the past is no longer affecting me who I am, but instead, people who have walked with me and know who I used to be and the things I've done, but see the character of who I am today and how that doesn't affect me, that will bring them healing. That will direct their eyes towards the light where they will receive Jesus into their life, where they will have healing in Christ Jesus. So that's our prayers for our shadows. That's having a kingdom mindset, keeping our eyes forward towards Christ. I say, now that my heart is changing and I'm in step, leading with Jesus, I have another character. It's a character that's authentic. An authentic character. Webster Dictionary describes this authentic as true to one's personality, spirit, or character. As we know, our faith, our walk, and our character is forged by the presence of God in our lives. Because in 1 Samuel 16:7, it says this, "For the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.'" See, as we go back to David and Solomon, they started off really well. But as life progresses and we come into some hard times in life when the rubber meets the road, that's whenever we really begin to discover the character of these two men, of their hearts. Solomon in 1 Kings 11, it says that Solomon did evil in the eyes of the Lord because he turned his eyes, he was two-stepping with Christ, and he's got his eyes off track of what he was supposed to be, and he started taking in 700 wives. And it says there in 1 Kings 11 that God appeared to him twice, trying to get him to turn back, but he still refused to repent. And in Scripture, there's no evidence of saying that Solomon ever repented. So ultimately, he quits the game. David, we all know about David, and with Bathsheba, dude tripped up a little bit, had an affair. But we find out the true heart, the authentic character of David. When this happens, he repents, gets back up, and keeps going. As I was praying over this part of my message a couple of weeks ago, asking God for really just like a way to really describe this even more, I went to worship practice on a Thursday, and I got to hear our leader, Allison, lead the team in practice. And during that time, I was reminded of a long time ago when Allison was going through a tough season. And surprise, surprise, pastors and their families were not immune to life. Stuff happens, right? And I just remember this season in her life, and it was just really tough. And I know that we've gone through this too. Like, we feel like we're in quicksand. If you ever feel like you're in life and you're just in quicksand, I know I'm actually standing. My foundation is rock solid. My faith is rock solid. But sometimes you feel like you're actually in the quicksand, and no matter what you do, you just can't seem to make progress, and you keep sinking. And you start high step, and you start trying to grab for things, but you just seem nothing is working, and then you get lower, and it's kind of like being in the water in the deep end, and you're drowning. And most of you know that I don't do well with water. As I was trying to get my lifeguard certification, that whole mess, I don't do well with water. Don't call me if you're drowning. We'll call Curtis. But sometimes you're in the water and you just feel like in life at different seasons, and you're about to go under, and you don't know what tomorrow looks like. Because no matter what you're doing, it's not helping. I remember I don't know her the whole story, but I remember just knowing that she was going through a lot. And she could have quit. She could have said, you know, I'm not leading worship. But what I saw was a woman get up on stage, and she led worship. And, you know, we really try to pay attention to the music that we choose, and that just keeps getting builds and builds, but sometimes we're not that good, and sometimes it's just the Holy Spirit leading us. But, man, that worship set, it just kept building and building. And then got to the last song, and the song, as the song kept going, the words were coming. It said, this is the breath, you are the breath of my lungs. Great are you, Lord. And in that moment, everything in the whole place disappeared for me. The keyboard disappeared. The mic disappeared. I wasn't hearing Allison sing words off of a page. But the vision that I got was I saw a worship leader standing before the feet of God on her knees, worshiping, saying, I don't know what tomorrow is going to look like. And I don't quite understand everything that's going on, but as for me, I worship you, God, because you are the air in my lungs, and great are you, Lord. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit just over me, like 1,000 bricks just landed on me. And I don't really speak in tongues very much, but I think that night I probably was speaking in tongues because of how strong the Holy Spirit was. You see, in life, we will stumble sometimes. There's stuff that happens in our life. Sometimes it happens and you get the call from the doctor and they find that there's a growth. Sometimes you lose your job. You get the phone call. Maybe with your marriage, things are not working out. And maybe there's something going on with your kids. Our first initial reaction sometimes is to quit. When we feel like we're going under, we're in that quicksand, I'm going to back out, I'm going to quit. Because especially church, that's the first one that goes. Because we say, our minds are this, I'm going through so much, how can I serve others whenever I'm going through this? How can I be doing that? So we quit. Then we look at our marriage, and we're just so deep, there's no coming out of this. I'm done. Same thing with our jobs. But in times of grief and stress in our life, we can still glorify God's goodness. We still have strength with all that we have to keep pushing on to glorify Christ. And we do this by the strength of our quiet time with Christ that morning. I was talking to Caleb Willis and Matt and talking to him about character. And Caleb said that, you know, this kind of reminds me of video games, how they kind of are, is you're always working to build up the attributes of your character, of the player in the game. You're constantly building up their attributes to make them a better player in the game. So this is what we're doing each and every morning. I don't just do it because this is what the Bible tells me what I'm doing. But what I'm doing each morning is I'm building up the attributes. I'm building up my identity, my character, upholding a Christ-like character in my life. So that later in the day, whenever I'm facing a storm or when there's something that's happening and I don't think I can overcome this, our reaction to those situations will be an overflow of our quiet time with Christ. So whenever I see Allison worshiping that day, she could have quit and said, I'm not doing it. But instead, she had the strength of worship. And that worship set was the overflow of what she was doing that morning. It's each morning Christ is giving us strength. And that is an authentic character. Because what is character? It's the truest person of themselves, the spirit, the character inside. I saw the character of Allison of worship. And that leads not only us, but it leads as a testimony to those around us. So Tony Romo, great theologian. Yeah. At the end of his season, 2016, of course, he was hurt. And he had a speech to give to the world. And this is what he says at the very end. I feel like we have two battles or enemies going on. One with the man across from you. The second is with the man inside of you. I think once you control the one inside of you, the one across from you really doesn't matter. Romo. I think he might have read some scripture. It's pretty good. You know, as I think about this as well, and being our character, because like I said, the first character is kingdom, right? having a kingdom character, a Christ-like character. Next one is down here. It's coming to ourselves, to our heart and our relationship with Christ, being authentic to who we are and the character that Christ has given us. And the next one is to move us out. And as I think about different people in Scripture, there's tons of people I can go to. I started with David and Solomon, but I'm going to turn sideways over here and talk about someone else. Talking about Jesus. Because when I think about Jesus, and he had his moment, he had his baptism, right? Just like when we do, when we receive Jesus in our heart, we have baptism. At his baptism, God spoke, said, "This is my son who I'm well pleased," right? So kingdom character, God-like character. Then what else? Then his ministry began. And over and over and over in Scripture, we find Jesus having to go find himself by himself to pray with God, to give him strength for the day, for the ministry that is at hand, right? Jesus always went away to pray, to be with God. And then it came to a big time in his life when he was facing basically like three different judges. And he was on trial. And then all the words were coming in and speaking over him, saying, "You did this, and you did this, you say you're son of God, you're not," you know. And one thing that I love about the story of Jesus, and I don't feel like it's really talked too much about, I love it because he stands there. When all this is being spoken over him and about him, he doesn't say anything. Why? Well, what I see is his kingdom. And his foundation is rock solid. He does not have to speak. Well, I mean, would that change? I mean, what would it look like if actually Jesus started coming out and saying, "Man, well, it's not really my fault. It's really actually your fault. Well, let me justify myself. Let me tell you what the truth is." What if he did that? But he didn't. But instead, what if our character spoke louder than our words? That's what Jesus did. His character spoke louder than words. And so what that gave him was a character that was courageous. Because a character that's affirmed in the Spirit of God, and that's kingdom, where that also sends us out, and at that point we're no longer concerned with what can be coming back at us. Matthew 5:16 says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." You know, this is really, let's be truthful, this is so beyond our first response. I mean, like I did, whenever I didn't get what I wanted, I began to blame my coach. Well, it's his fault. It's his fault. Sometimes we come under judgment or they're throwing stuff at us, and what do we do? We automatically blame other people. Well, let me tell you, it's actually you, the reason why I did that. Or maybe we did something for Jesus and some people don't like it. So then we got to justify our actions or whatever else that you did. We got to justify ourselves. Sometimes we got to triangle a little bit. So if Pastor Curtis is over here talking about me, well, I'm going to come over here to Bobby and talk about Pastor Curtis. And I'm going to get Bobby on my side, right? We start triangling. Instead of going to the source, I'm going to come over here. And then sometimes, probably more so often than we like, go to social media. And, oh, man, we're going to let everybody know what's going on in my world right now. #mom life, #parent life, #stress. Sorry. See, we can get caught up in those hashtags, and I'm guilty of it. That's why I don't like to post. Hashtags. Anyways, we can kind of get overdo it. I'll tell you what, there's no other greater way that we can lose our character than that. When we begin to have to blame someone or justify who we are, we have to put it onto the world to see. And sometimes our character is tested by the things that we do post and the pictures we do post. Sometimes we're tagged in a picture that we did not want on Facebook because we're hanging out with some friends, and then the next day it was tagged, and you're like, "Oh my gosh, I did not want that on the World Wide Web." And sad thing is, this is the world we live in right now. You could be a greeter here at the doors. You could make coffee. You can fill someone's coffee. You could be serving in Kid City. And you could have someone new who's fresh in their walk with Christ. And they come here each and every week. And you remember their name. And you smile. You hold the door open for them. And to that person, they're looking at you, "Man, this person, hey, I love this person. They know my name. They're here every week and they greet me. I just love going to church. I just love seeing these people." So what am I going to do? I'm going to find them on Facebook. right? Or Instagram, because that's what we do. You know that's what you do. You go find new friends on Facebook, see what's going on, then you go to your Facebook, their Facebook page, and you're like, just like all the other churches I've gone to, there's one thing here, but here, it shows something different. This is the world we're in. And it's so easy. And if we're not careful with the things that we post online, the things we're being tagged in, and the things we do, and the justifying and blaming, our character is lost. That is not upholding a Christ-like character. But we must learn to embrace where we are and begin to lay a hold to what's ahead. Kingdom. As I think about this, I also think of another story, and I think of my pastor. Years ago, he was in a situation where, I mean, it wasn't like Jesus being staying on trial. It's just it's similarities as people were just speaking and blaming and all this thing over Jesus. I saw my pastor in a season like that, where things were being said about him over and over again and blame was being cast. And yet he wasn't doing anything. He wasn't saying anything. And honestly, he really had the opportunity to stand up and speak truth over the situation and then just end the situation with truth. And as we talked to him about it, he says, God told me that there is no need for me to reveal this truth or talk about this. It's going to come somewhere else, but not from me. Why not my character be louder than words right now? A lot of people didn't like that. I know for a bunch of people, they kept going up to him and saying, why don't you just stand up and say this? But he wouldn't. But what he did is each and every day, what he did was he got up and worshiped God. He worshiped with his wife, tended to his family, and then went to work. He said, I'm going to do ministry, and the ministry is whoever's standing in front of me at that time. And I have a job, and my job is this church. And if I'm focused on all this other stuff that's going on behind me, who's going to watch out for them? That is my job, to stand in the gap for them. I can't be distracted with all this stuff that's being said about me. One day, truth came out. Of course, he right truth. And we were all so excited. And what did my pastor do that next day? He woke up. He worshiped God. Worshiped with his wife, tended to his family, and came in and went to work. You know, the light inside of us is contagious. And people desire that. They might not even realize that's what it is, but they desire the light that's inside of us. But what type of character are we showing to those around us? Are we blaming? Are we trying to justify for what we're doing? Or are we going to let the character of Christ that we're upholding speak louder than our words? Because when we are in step with God, our character is magnified. So let me ask you, what legacy are you leaving behind for your children or for the church? So the three characteristics, Christ-like characteristics, is what? One that's kingdom, one that's upward, one that's authentic. That's with us here. To our truest self, the truest spirit inside of us, the truest character of who we are, and which sends us outward to those around us and to be courageous. You see, a good name, reputation as a man or woman of character is a powerful legacy to leave behind for our children. Okay, we can put the picture up. Most of you know who this guy is. If you don't, his name is Charles McCaslin. He's from Tulia, and he's here every Sunday, thick or thin. If it's raining, snowing, and this isn't this time. This is about a year ago whenever he was able to have a remote. His wheelchair could push, but it got to the point he couldn't use it. So his wife would push him here, even in rain. And he'd sit back here, and he worshiped. A couple of days ago, he passed. We'll have his service here in a couple of days on Tuesday. But what I see about this man was this. He's left a legacy. Now, a lot of people know who he is. And the legacy he's left in Toya and the surrounding towns. But I see a man not two-stepping with Christ, looking behind him and thinking, "Did what I did back then, is that going to help me in the fourth quarter?" But instead, he's thankful for that It's a testimony. It's a legacy. But his eyes was always focused forward, and he was always here worshiping, seeking out those around him, smiling. Oh, man, he'd get here. He wouldn't say nothing, but he was smiling. And then he'd be in the back worshiping every Sunday. What a legacy he's going to leave to this church, to his family and friends. And I just love the scripture that goes with it. Holiness is his life in me.